Great to have you with us for Garden Talk, and we are going to turn our attention to irises. They look wonderful in the garden, and they're fairly easy to grow. And we'll be talking about their care with our next guest. Brock Voitilevich is a master gardener and membership officer of the Madison Area Iris Society. So it's great to have Brock with us today. And I hope you'll join in. Maybe you're an iris lover. Maybe you have a favorite cultivar. Maybe you're having some questions relating to their care. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Brock Voitilevich, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Larry. It's an honor to be here.
You love irises. What drew you to them?
I do. I don't know. Their beauty, I guess. I think I also have it in my DNA. My grandparents were avid gardeners. My parents enjoy gardening as well. But I did have some irisarians in the family, so I think it's really in my blood.
So the Madison Iris Society sale starts today. First, maybe talk about the Madison Iris Society and
sure.
what it's about.
So that is our organization for irisarians and actually even beginning gardeners. Our mission is to connect any iris enthusiast. So we're a nonprofit that's based in Madison, but our membership has expanded quite a bit. So we have members across the state, you know, including myself. I'm coming from Stevens Point. We even have members in Minnesota. So, and the club started back in 1981 at Olbrich Gardens following a presentation about growing irises. And seven of those attendees decided to get together and form a club. And since then, we've had a relationship with Olbrich Botanical Garden. We have our meetings there. We also have our annual iris show, which is typically the first Sunday of June. We had a little bit early this year, Memorial Day weekend, because a number of us from the club were out in Montana for the American Iris Society National Convention.
So the Madison Iris Society sale, though, starts actually today. And tell us about the sale.
Okay, sure. Yes, we started at 9 a.m. today, and we're going until 5. We will have the same hours tomorrow as well, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we're really excited to offer nearly 200 cultivars of irises.
Ooh.
Yes, so quite a selection. And a number of different kinds. So not only the tall bearded irises, which are so popular.
Yeah.
We have dwarfs as well, intermediates, and then others like beardless irises.
So lots, and people obviously can come and purchase those bulbs.
Yes, and they're reasonably priced, and all the plants are locally grown. I think that's a big advantage of the sale. So if you're buying at this sale, you know that the plants do well in Wisconsin. They've been grown by our club members.
And go ahead.
And you can also talk to them. They're volunteers at the sale. So if you have questions, they're there to answer.
And I'm sure there are photos of the iris, the plants themselves when they're at their peak.
Yes, exactly. So we have the rhizomes in baskets, and each one has a photo of the blooms.
And what would be a range of prices on those bulbs?
So they start out at $4 and go to $7. So the most expensive rhizomes are only $7, which I think is quite a bargain. You could look at the garden centers or online and find the same varieties, they would be double, if not more.
Okay, so it's a really good deal. And the event is at?
The event is at the West Madison Agricultural Research Station out on Mineral Point Road, 8520 Mineral Point Road.
So, and a good place to go, and obviously it's a good deal.
Yes.
For anybody who wants to try. And for those who aren't familiar with irises, tell us about how they grow.
Well, they're fairly easy to grow. We could even say they thrive on neglect compared to some other perennials. I would say they're low maintenance perennials. They don't require a lot of water. In fact, too much water would likely lead to rotting of the rhizomes. So now for people purchasing irises, this is a good time to be planting them, actually, because you want at least 6 weeks before the first frost to allow the plant to establish a healthy root system and overwinter.
Which makes this sale a perfect time for a sale.
Exactly. And that's why we do the sale now.
Yeah, it makes good sense. Brock, we have a call from Kim in River Falls. Let's go there. Kim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I dug up a bunch of iris this spring, and we put them in the ground in a different place, and the rabbits have eaten them down to the dirt. I didn't think rabbits ate iris.
Well, typically they don't, but, I mean, occasionally they just, their tastes change and they try new things, but, you know, irises are not immune to the critters. I do use a fair amount of liquid fence at home to keep deer away, but they don't really seem to bother my irises.
Would the liquid fence have, would they have an impact on rabbits?
They say they do, but I don't think anything deters bunnies.
Other than a fence.
Right.
Other than a fence, Kim, I'm not sure what else could be done at this point. And sort of getting rid of them is, an impossible task, let's put it that way.
I do live trapping and relocate them.
Yeah, so. But then you'll just find more.
Right.
Later on.
There are always more.
Kim, thank you. Mary in Wausau will go to you now. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I have a question about what is probably iris borer. I have a garden that I tend, but I don't get to visit often, and I was just back there, and a nice old-fashioned clump of, like, bearded iris, the purple ones that smell like grapes, they're pretty much dead. There's maybe two rhizomes that look okay, but the rhizomes themselves are, like, kind of mushy, and I had a go-around with iris borer many, many years ago, and I'm thinking that's probably what I got, and then Do I have to just dig those out and, like, get rid of them, or can I wait and see if some of them come back next year, or what would you advise I do?
Mm-hmm. So great questions. The iris borer is probably the worst pest that you can have for irises. I'm very fortunate. I have not had to deal with iris borer in my garden, but I know that it is a formidable threat, and many of my gardening friends in Wisconsin are dealing with it. So it sounds like you have some soft rot in the iris rhizomes, and it could be just that, which is bacterial, but it could be that combined with the iris borer too. You know, I'm wondering if you have seen any evidence of, like, small larvae, or if you, later on in the season, there'll be larger caterpillar-like, almost a pink color, large larva in the rhizome itself. So in that case, you would want to certainly do some treatment. There are certain possibilities, three broad categories of treatments. So, you know, as a master gardener, we promote integrated pest management, and chemical treatment is like the last resort. So I do have friends who just keep a close eye on their rhizomes, and they can see the tiny larvae that emerge sometime in May, like toward the second half of May probably, and they just squish them by hand. And sometimes if they have even entered the leaves, you can feel a bump and smush them inside. So that is, you know, kind of the basic way to do it. There is a completely organic way using nematodes, which are a natural parasite that attack the iris borer, get inside it, and slowly eat away and kill the larvae. So that is a great treatment option. They're added to, sprayed into the soil. And I have some resources that I can suggest for further details. So then the last resort would be using chemical treatments. And I know that there are a few chemicals that are listed on the UW Extension article for treating iris borer. So that's a great resource to go to. So as again, as a master gardener, we always try to promote evidence-based, research-based practices. So I would recommend checking out that article. But again, that would be really a last resort. And I think to answer your question, you don't have to discard the rhizomes. You can also, if it's just soft rot, you can actually dig them out and treat them with bleach, either diluted or full concentration. That's often done. And cut away the parts that seem soft and mushy and save anything that's firm. So it's possible to salvage those rhizomes.
You just dip them in the bleach, or what do you?
You can spray them.
Spray them.
Dip them as well.
Mm-hmm. It's soft rot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to recommend a great resource from the American Iris Society. There are quite a few free webinars that the society has put together, and they can be found on YouTube. And webinar number 11 deals with iris pests, including the pernicious iris borer. So you can get a lot more information about the different treatment options.
Thank you very much, Mary, for calling. Appreciate your call. What's the stage? What is the life stage of the iris borer? Mm-hmm, Let's just go through that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So in the late summer, end of August, beginning of September, there's a moth that lays eggs. And then those eggs winter over in plant debris, especially the dried up brown mm-hmm. plant debris. So that's another good reason to get rid of that, clean that all up in the fall. Whereas I don't cut down a lot of other perennials, but I would suggest trimming down irises for that reason. We don't want to winter over any eggs. And then, so if they stick around and they overwinter, they hatch in May. These tiny larvae emerge. They kind of start nibbling on the edges of the leaves, the foliage, and they work their way, they bore into the foliage, the leaves, and then you'll start to see damage inside, and they work their way all the way down to the rhizome where they kind of make a home. And then they move into the soil in summer and they pupate. And then eventually they'll emerge as moths, as the adult moth.
So if I'm not mistaken, this is a really, if you have iris, this is a really good time to be checking your plants. Right? Because the tips of the leaves start turning brown sometimes.
Yeah, June and July, you could see a lot of damage. And there are other things that cause leaves to turn brown, such as leaf spot. That's another common problem with irises, especially bearded irises. But the iris borer will do a lot of damage in June and July, and they can, kill the plant in a short amount of time.
Nancy, by the way, called to recommend using chili powder or hot pepper flakes to keep the rabbits away from the plants. And that makes some sense to me.
I've also tried a product called Plant Skid, but I'm not so sure that it kept the bunnies away. They were still nibbling on my petunias all last summer.
Well, let's go back to the sort of the best time to plant. Now's a really good time to be planting iris. I'm wondering about dividing them. How often should you be dividing iris?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's one of the most common questions I get at the Garden and Green Living Expo. So irises really need to be divided every 3 or 4 years. If not, the rhizomes get crowded and they stop flowering. So I often have people come up to me and say, you know, I had this beautiful patch of irises that bloomed, you know, profusely years ago, and every year they bloomed a bit less, and now they're barely blooming at all. So it's likely that they are too crowded.
So if you've got that situation, and can I now divide them, and will they grow?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is actually a good time to be dividing irises. Since they're spring blooming, you want to divide in really late summer here so that they do have enough time to get established. So, again, we need to get them planted 6 weeks before frost so they can work on their root system, get established and ready for the winter. Probably once they're planted, only about a third of the plants will flower in the first year. In the second year, we can say the majority, maybe two-thirds. And then by the third year, you should have some nice established clumps that will be flowering very well.
And when you're dividing, I mean, what are you looking at taking and as each division?
Mm-hmm, sure. So the mother rhizome will have a bunch of children.
Okay.
So you want, and you're going to be cutting away and discarding the old parts, you know, the mother, because once the rhizome has bloomed, it's never going to bloom again. So you have to get the new growth. And you can cut off all of the new rhizomes and plant them individually. It's recommended anywhere from 12 to 24 inches apart so that they have enough room to grow and eventually establish clumps.
And I'm trying to remember, but planting is kind of shallow, is it not?
Yes, that's one of the most common mistakes for people growing irises, is to plant them too deep. So we want to have part of the rhizome exposed. So
you want it showing.
Yeah, the top of the rhizome should be showing.
Mm-hmm. So that's... And I know that the temptation is always to want to cover everything.
Sure. And it really depends on your soil, too. So where I'm from, we have sandy soil. There you could cover slightly.
Okay.
But if you have clay, you really can't. So, but I still recommend, even with sandy soil, I would leave a little bit. Like down in the south, they have to cover their rhizomes because it's too hot. Southern U.S. But so it really depends on your location, your zone, and your soil. But here in Wisconsin, I would still recommend leaving the top exposed.
Talking irises today with Brock Vojtilevich, who is a master gardener and membership officer with the Madison Area Iris Society. There's Iris Society sales going on right now. It started today and will run through the weekend. And you can take part in that, but you can also learn some more about irises, or maybe you've got an iris plant you have a question about. I hope you'll join in. Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. We're talking irises today on the show with our guest, Brock Vojtilevich, master gardener or membership officer with the Madison Area Iris Society. Again, if you have a question, give a call, 800-642-1234. And I may have misinterpreted or misrepresented, I should say, the sale, because the sale is Friday, and Saturday tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 9 a.m. until 5.
And again, it's at the...
It's at the West Madison Agricultural Research Station, 8502 Mineral Point Road.
Yeah, with plenty of parking, and it's a great place to be. Gretchen in Stevens Point has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi. I just started listening, so I hope you haven't discussed this already, but my irises this year were all dark purple. And I used to have a nice variety of peach, and I put some white ones in. The white ones actually did grow, but I know I have some light blue. I had other colors, but the whole lot was dark purple.
All right. Well, what happened there, Brock?
Well, so we didn't cover that earlier, but I kind of anticipated this question because it comes up quite often, so you're not alone. There are cultivars or varieties that are more vigorous than others. So it's if you're, I think you said your purple ones are now dominating. So they will actually take over if they're really good growers and even crowd out or push out some of those that are not so vigorous. So over time, and not every variety is going to bloom for you in every year. So you may see a peach one this year and, you know, a different color the next year. But if they're slowly getting more and more purple, I think that's a really good grower and it's crowding out the other varieties.
Oh, so it's growing from the host plant is just spreading out is
sure,
what you're saying.
Sure. Some people think that irises will change color because, you know, suddenly they have the majority are one color, but that is not the case because the genetics are right in the plant. They are not going to change colors.
Okay. It's just that they're getting crowded out, Gretchen, those other colors. But, as you say, they may... So what would you do if in Gretchen's case, would this be a dividing time then? Or?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I would suggest. If you don't want that many purple ones, I would take some of those out and give some more space to some of the other colors.
Yeah. Gretchen, thank you for calling. Diane in Ontario, Wisconsin. Your turn. Hi, Diane.
Hi, thank you. I have what I think are called Japanese iris, and they grow very well. They have very dark purple blooms, and usually, I think, in June. There's a lot of foliage that's pretty right now, but it, of course, freezes and gets terrible looking. I'm wondering when I can cut that foliage back. Do I need to wait until spring, or I don't want to cut away next year's blossom, which I have done in the past.
Okay,
so that's a great question. So anytime the foliage turns brown and gets dried, I would recommend trimming it to keep the plant healthy. And again, this applies not only to Japanese iris, but really any of the other types, especially the bearded ones, which are susceptible to borer and other pests. So I would discard any of the brown, spotty, or dried up foliage. And I would also recommend either burning it or just getting rid of it so that you're not spreading any pest, spores or any eggs or bacteria, you know, throughout the garden. So don't be afraid to trim any of the brown foliage. You're not going to jeopardize the bloom for next year.
But the green foliage, you want to keep that.
Yes, you do, because the plants continue to photosynthesize. So they need to, you know, produce more energy and store up that energy for next year. So, but I also grow some Japanese irises, and they are quite lovely. So I can see why you're fond of them.
Diane, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. And let's go to Barb in Madison. Hi, Barb.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
You were talking about dividing irises. And we have a patch of iris, maybe 4 foot by 3 foot. And we've never done anything to them. We haven't cut them back. We haven't divided them. And every year, they just bloom prolifically, and they get more beautiful every year. So we're wondering, should I start dividing or
and how long
or just leave them alone?
How long has the bed been in?
Oh, I'd say about 20 years.
Okay, so that kind of goes against the advice that I just gave. But some of the older varieties, some of the historic irises are just such great performers. They will flower profusely year after year. They don't require much maintenance. It seems like some of the more, you know, the fancier, the newer introductions require more care, more division, more maintenance. So, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But if someday they just stop flowering, then I would divide.
Yeah. So you don't have to do it yet, Barb. the old style, sometimes the old ones are can be the best ones, huh?
Yeah. There are some lovely historic varieties. In fact, there is a section of the American Iris Society that's devoted to historic iris preservation. So there are a lot of people who really care about this topic. And another resource that I wanted to recommend, besides the American Iris Society, which can be found at irises.org, is the Iris Wiki, where you can find information on thousands of varieties, including some of these historics. So it's wiki.irises.org. Completely free, run by the American Iris Society, a wealth of information.
Oh, that's great. And of course, people are going to see a lot at this sale. I mean, how many types of irises are going to be at the sale?
So we are offering nearly 200 cultivars. So quite a variety. And we have some of the dwarfs that bloom really early in the season. People often ask, or they often comment, you know, I just love irises. They're so beautiful. I just wish they lasted longer. So my advice would be to include a variety of types or classes of irises in your garden so that you can extend the bloom time. If you start with the dwarfs that are blooming at the same time as your spring bulbs, like daffodils and tulips, and you can move on to intermediate or medians. We have border bearded are next. So they bloom sequentially. The tall bearded are the last bearded ones to bloom. And then we have Siberians, followed by Japanese. There are Spuria and Louisiana irises as well. I don't grow those, but you can really extend the iris season to about 2 months, really.
That's wonderful. You know, I have some daylilies. I have some giants that get to be 7-8 feet tall. Are there any irises that will, well, maybe not that tall, but...
Maybe not quite that tall, but there are some really tall bearded irises, you know, 44 inches for stalks. But then they need staking, too, if it's rainy or windy. Can I mention one more thing? Another way to extend the season is to also include reblooming iris. So there are quite a few cultivars now that will rebloom in our zone, or southern Wisconsin zone 5 or 6, further up north zone 4 even, or and 3, I believe. So you can have irises blooming again in September and October.
And on that happy note, Brock, thank you so much for being with us today. We'll do it again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Enjoyed talking with you. Brock Voitilevich is the Master Gardener and Membership Officer for the Madison Area Iris Society. The sale, the Iris Society sale, on today and tomorrow. So don't miss it. Big thanks to everybody, our producers, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnott, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.